If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
When you have an emotional connection to the story behind your project, what it is that you're trying to do, the music that you're trying to create or get funded, that's going to be, that's so incredibly important for your audience as patrons.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. And you can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. I am excited to be here today with my friend, Justin Giddings. Justin, also known as the Kickstarter guy, is an award-winning filmmaker and musician turned crowdfunding expert, raising $11 million with a 97% success rate. Woo! Founder of thekickstarterguy.com, coaching over 350 campaigns to creative and financial success. He's a marketing strategist and crowdfunding guru, helping creators turn their ideas into fully funded realities. So I'm really excited to have him on the podcast today to talk a little bit about what does it take for an artist to get funded, to be able to take their ideas and their vision and turn it into real life. So Justin, thanks for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like very honored. I feel like I'm in hallowed halls of previous cool, badass people.
Yeah, dude, it's good to have you here. And also excited to have you down here at the Modern Musician Studio.
Yep.
That's more to actually have like an in-person podcast as well, take it to the next level.
Could be fun.
But Justin, you know, for anyone that this is their first time connecting with you, could you share a quick introduction into your story and how you became the Kickstarter guy?
Yeah, let's start there. So I got into the film industry really young as an actor. So I was doing voiceover work as a kid and that kind of thing. Went to school, got the conservatory degree, moved out to LA, and worked pretty consistently. So I describe it as like I got insurance from SAG every year that I was there. And then finally I had my big break. I was on this web series that had like 70 million views and it got turned into a TV show. And I was one of the three series regulars on there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Mom, I made it. This is like the big dream. And it immediately got canceled. And so I turned to my co-star. I was like, dude, I'm so tired of waiting for permission to be creative. Like, what are we doing? We should make our own stuff. Mm-hmm. So we ended up writing two short films and raising about $100,000 through crowdfunding for those two short films. This is like 2012, 2013. And two things happened. One is I started really having a filmmaking career. So eventually I moved out of LA, didn't need to live there anymore. I've got a feature coming out this year. I've won Slam Dance. I continue to make films and don't really act that much anymore. But the other thing that happened was that people started reaching out for help with their crowdfunding campaigns. And so what started out as like coffee sessions at in North Hollywood turned into me having a full scale coaching and consulting business that now is also outside of crowdfunding. I help filmmakers in a lot of different ways, but also musicians. So I've crowdfunded several musician campaigns. I'm even working with some modern musician people, like Eli Lev, right?
Savannah Pope is probably worth a shout out as well. She raised, was it $65,000?
Yeah. I keep forgetting that Savannah's part of the Modern Musician. So I had some really successful campaigns there. And then as a musician, I sang professionally my whole life, kind of got into acting like on the stage through musical theater. So had sang and play guitar because in college I should play guitar if I want to be cool. So I was like that level of guitar player, but could never write music. It was just always me trying to be everybody else. It was bad too. But then I went through a unexpected and painful divorce, and all of a sudden I had a deep well of stuff to pull from that screenwriting wasn't really cutting it. I needed something more facile and agile as a creative expression. And then a couple months ago, I got a development deal with a label and just released my first single a couple weeks ago. It's about to hit 10,000 streams. So it's going well.
Let's go. Oh, congratulations, man.
So that's the story in a nutshell.
Okay, cool. Oh, and I heard the song too. Could you remind me what the name of the song is?
Yeah, Strawberry Moon.
Strawberry Moon. It was really good. I remember hearing it and I got goosebumps. That's usually a good sign. When I see something, I'm like, I get like the goosebumps. I'm like, woo, yep, there's something there. I'm feeling that.
Thank you.
Cool.
Yeah. My moniker is Primal Panic with an exclamation point. So if anybody wants to seek it out.
Nice. Awesome. Cool. So, let's zoom in a little bit on this area of expertise that you've developed, which is crowdfunding. Now, I'm curious where that kind of came from. Like, how you kind of like fast tracked through the initial like $100,000 fundraising? You're like, we raised $100,000, then we did like X. Like, whoa! Like, okay. Like, yeah. So I'm curious with your level of expertise. I guess maybe we start with like, how did you learn this stuff? And also, I'm curious. What exactly you learned if someone's listening to this right now and they're kind of trying to figure out what are the core pieces of running a campaign where they get started.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess how I learned it, one reason why I think we relate so well together is like, and I don't know what your background is, but what I see now is like musician, artist who also has this understanding or ease with sort of the business side of it, like the marketing side of it, the promotional side of it. Mm-hmm. So my parents were entrepreneurs and I just kind of grew up with that kind of mindset. And so when I started doing my own crowdfunding campaign, I really like authenticity is my highest value. And so when I was looking around, all I was seeing was these like very like low effort, blind carbon copy. Hey, friends, skip your latte and give me your money. And if everybody did that, I'd be fine. Like weird. It's a weird. I call them whinies. We need your help. like that's what I saw. I was like, I can't do that. That isn't going to work for me. And so I sort of combined the marketing background and experience that I had with the this value of authenticity, and that seems to be the secret sauce. With particularly with artistic crowdfunding campaigns, if it was a game or a item, physical product of some kind, the sell is pretty easy. Hey, buy now and you get a discount before retail, and that's the exchange. For the risk of this taking a while to get to you, you get a discount. But with artistic projects, people are giving an average of $50 to $100 for music that they can eventually stream for free, or films that, $200 million Avengers movie is a $20 ticket tops, right? So like, how do we, there isn't like a retail discount. It's really connected to sort of mission and vision and other stuff that I'm sure that we'll get into, but, knowing how to get people to see the project, traffic to a website basically is the marketing piece. And then, of course, the creative side of it, learning how to articulate one's story and vision and mission in a way that really activates this age-old sense of patronage that people have always had for artists.
Mm. Cool. So
there's so many places we can go. There's so much stuff here. I know.
Yeah, I like it. And the two kind of pieces that I'm pulling from what you're saying, like as like a main focus point, and I guess this goes into the root of like entrepreneurship or marketing in general, is sort of like there's those two focus points. One is like, what's the actual story and the offer and the emotional journey that you're taking people on when they get there? And then two is like, how do you get them there in the first place so they can even experience that? Is it kind of breaking up like the traffic side of it versus like the where you're sending people to? So maybe we start with that part, which is probably the most important part. I guess like they're both like extremely important, but if you're going to start somewhere, you'd probably start with like the heart of the message or the heart of the release, the story, the authenticity. So how does let's start
there, because I think the reason the marketing works is when you've connected to that piece. That's how people can respond to the marketing in an authentic way. So I call this story-based crowdfunding. And, you know, I'll give an example from the film space, just because it's I think the parallels work really, really well. So this, I had a short film script win Slam Dance, which is a big old screenplay competition. And if I were to do a crowdfunding video and start telling you like the plot of the film, you get bored real, real quick. And I'm going to do it here in a second. And I think in music, it's like, if I started talking about the production or that I had this certain musician connected to it, even like I have this song, let me read you the lyrics, right? If I started kind of going through that piece, your brain's going to just get bored real, real quick. So the example I give, like with my, this thing with this film is like, okay, so we open on, you know, we're in this like house, this mansion, and it's like over this hill, and there's all these things hanging on the wall, you know, like a letter from the president and these medals. And so, and then we like zoom in on this old man and he's like looking out the window. I guarantee you half the audience right now is kind of lost or not, like, and it isn't a lack of energy or anything. It's just, I'm not seeing the thing that you're seeing in your head, right? I'm not emotionally connecting to that. But if I said, okay, so this movie is actually a tribute to my grandfather who passed away. He was the most decorated CIA agent in the agency's history. This is a true story. And my whole life, I was told grandpa's going to die any day now because he's still sick from the assassination attempt. And he just never did. And so this mythic figure that I looked up to, who was like, you can't get, I don't know, more cool and manly, if you will, of like a Cold War spy, right? Was invincible. And so I got a call one day from grandma saying, hey, he's getting really sick. He might die soon. This is a call I've received dozens of times. I kind of ignored it and he passed away. And I never got to tell him all those things. And so this movie is my way of telling him all those things and kind of honoring his memory and hoping that this next adventure is the greatest one that he gets to have, right? So you can probably feel the emotional difference between those two things. The movie is not about Justin's granddad, right? It's about, you know, whatever, the plot. But that's the core, the story behind the story. And there's some science to this. It activates things called mirror neurons, which I can get into in a minute kind of deeper, but otherwise I'll monologue the entire time. But like, you can sort of see that, like, when you have an emotional connection to the story behind your project, what it is that you're trying to do, the music that you're trying to create or get funded, that's going to be, that's so incredibly important for your audience as patrons, because they're not going to get, you know, they're not going to spend $100 and get $200 worth of stuff. What they're spending on is the story, is that emotional connection. And there's some science behind that, which I can get into in a second, but I figured you might want to jump in.
Oh man, that's so good. Yeah. I love those, the AB comparison of like the same thing, but just communicated in, you know, in different ways, how much more powerful that second one was. So I would love to hear more about the science behind it. And specifically where my mind goes is sort of like, how to pull that out of artists, especially if there's someone that maybe is like, oh, like, I don't know if I have like a good story or like a good, like emotional, like way to kind of like connect to that. I'm curious where you start with artists and maybe what are some questions they can reflect on to sort of get to that root.
Perfect. Yeah, let's do it. So to put a finer point on like, I think in a, for musicians is like, you know, it's really easy to talk about genre or influences, right? Like I make like indie folk music, lots of like Bon Iver and with the idea, and I don't think it's a bad idea necessarily, because like we do this with ads and stuff that like, oh, you might have a shared interest in that artist and that might get you excited, right? But I encourage artists in general to shy away from those pieces and to really lean into like, why do they have to make this project and not some other project? Why did you write this song and not some other song? Why do you have to get this out of you? Particularly for musicians, I think, right? Like there's, as we know, like the music industry is tough. And for particularly for people not in something like modern musicians, if you're relying on streaming numbers, right, to make money, like it, or to get eyeballs and an audience, like it's really, really tough. And so there's got to be something that is driving every musician to get up in the morning and do this thing, to throw themselves kind of onto the fire almost of creating work. And it's okay if some of that is like vanity stuff, you know, I want to be famous or, but even then it's like, well, why are you using this music to do that? Right? What is it about this music, this song, this album, you know, which is a lot of what my crowdfunding clients are doing, you know, an album or EP. What does this mean to you? What does it express? Where did it come from? Why are you doing this one? Like, I don't know about most of your audience, because I'm somewhat new to like being a professional songwriter, but like I have a bunch of songs, but I'm choosing the ones to release and I'm choosing the ones to put into an EP. Why did I choose these ones? What do they represent on an emotional level? Because that's what's going to resonate with the audience, is when you can articulate what it is about this that is weirdly so uniquely special to you, but then has this like universal quality that people go like, oh yeah, I remember my divorce or my breakup and the pain that I felt or the betrayal that I felt or the, you know, like the shock that I felt, the anger that I felt. Like I can relate to those emotions, even though I wasn't Justin married to his ex-wife. Right. And so that's what those are often the initial questions that I'll ask is like, why this and not something else? You've made a choice. You've curated your selection of what it is you're going to bring to the world. Why that selection and not something else?
Good stuff. Yeah. So it sounds like really like the heart of it is going deep into the why or going deep into the purpose, what inspired it. And that versus like focusing on sort of like the what is a lot more compelling from like an emotional standpoint. Because if you're describing like the what, like, oh, like I recorded this guitar here and it played this note and I recorded this.
Right. Okay.
Like, but if there's like
in this genre and you know, it sounds like this, it cool. Like, and, but actually this is a good segue into the science, right? Why does this work? Why this? Right. So you can Google this stuff. There's something called mirror neurons. So our brains have evolved, developed, created to have empathy, physiological empathy, right? This is why listening to music or seeing a movie is so cathartic, because, and this is the science piece of it, when we see somebody experiencing a strong emotion, research has shown that our brains light up in the same emotional areas. So if I'm seeing somebody cry, the crying part of my brain is going to start getting active. I may not actually physically cry, but there's something in the brain chemistry that looks for those emotional cues and then mirrors them back. And they're called mirror neurons, right? So when you're doing your pitch video, well, let's keep it just in art for now. When you go watch a movie and you watch a 60-foot person go through a thing and there's, you know, sensory deprivation, it's quiet, you know, outside, it's just this, right? It's just the stuff you're seeing on screen. There's no additional light. Our brains kind of can't tell the difference. And that becomes this, you know, piece of reality. We're not sitting there all the whole time with the brain going like, yeah, none of this is real. This is fake. You can just ignore all this, right? We're fully emotionally invested in made up stuff. And the same thing happens with songs. You know, we sing along with them. We sit there and cry because this other person describing their experience or an event or whatever through song, somehow all of a sudden feels like we are that person and we're experiencing that because our brains are lighting up in this like mirrored emotional experience. And I think, A, that's a really good songwriting tip. This is why they, you know, three chords and a truth, right? Like finding that on that emotional space inside yourself is so important and valuable. But of course, in marketing terms, that's why the pitch video, emails, social media posts, when you can connect to the emotional through line or mission or vision of your project, that's what's going to get people excited. Not I'm releasing another song like the 1500 other songs or 15,000 other songs that are coming out today across the world. Right.
Oh, man, that's so powerful. It's so wild too, that just like we have these mirror neurons.
I know. Can,
like, you know, communicate with people across the world and be able to like, you almost like this collective mind or this collective consciousness.
It's fascinating to me. It's fascinating to me that like, you know, regardless of where somebody falls on sort of a metaphysical spectrum, the fact that our bodies truly do light each other up, I just think is kind of an amazing gift of being human, you know, that we get to share in the experiences of the tribe around us.
And just like the, it's so interesting, like the communication vehicles through which we can express that and then kind of express those shared neurons, whether that's through like words or through like symbols that can like, you know, trigger a certain part of our brains, or through it's like music or through a story or a film. Really interesting. Okay. So that's cool. Any other pieces that we want to focus on there before we move on to that second big pillar that we had talked about around like traffic and getting people to see the story?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good starting point is for people to, I guess the finer point on it is that particularly I think as a musician, even honestly more than a filmmaker, the authenticity, knowing who you are, knowing what you care about, knowing what you want to say is so incredibly important, I think, for an artist's development of their voice, you know, of their artistic voice. And so I don't think people can spend too much time mining that. And whether that's therapy or religious practice or meditation or mindfulness, really understanding and knowing yourself is a gift. Even if, like, I'm a very open book kind of guy, but like, I have depression, anxiety, I've struggled with an eating disorder. Like, it isn't about getting rid of your demons. It's about learning how to commune with them and so that they can like contribute to your artistic voice. And so, you know, you don't have to be a suffering artist to process your suffering. I mean, for me, my music is straight up, I'm feeling feelings that are too big right now. And instead of binging, I'm going to write a song, right? Like, it's a coping mechanism, but it only works if I'm being real with myself. And the reason why I could never write music for most of my life was because I would sit down and I would try to write a good song that sounds like a Coldplay song or sounds like a Bon Iver song. It's never going to work. It's never going to work. So this artistic integrity, this authenticity is super important. Rick Rubin talks about this a lot. So yeah, that's the finer point on that. And then we can get into marketing land.
Oh man, good stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's crossing the boundary between, you know, music and just like being a human and learning how to connect with who you are and express that. And music is a blessing and a gift to be able to connect with that. And there's many different, you know, forms of expression to do that, but it's great that, you know, that's kind of where you start, is like you get connected with who you are and learn how to express that, and not necessarily try to hide who you are, but actually use this as a way to say the things that often are hard to actually say out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. I you know what? One more thing too. And the reason for this is like my experience, you know, consulting with artists has been, you know, imposter syndrome and artists are often kind of pooped on in this industry, particularly musicians with, I mean, I don't want to get into all Spotify and streaming, but like, you know, there's this like sense that we're a dime a dozen, you know, and all we do is think up creative ideas and anybody could do that kind of stuff. Mm. And I have this belief, core to my worldview, is that artists are sort of the shamans for the human tribe. So in a tribalistic society, in a tribe, you know, there would often be a person who would be sort of set aside and designated to provide transcendent experiences for the rest of the tribe. Mm-hmm. So births and deaths and coming of age ceremonies, myths and stories that provide meaning, because the hunters and the gatherers would go out and hunt and gather, and they would come back and they needed somebody to give them a sense of meaning and purpose for a life that could feel very monotonous, right? Like, hey, when you go out and hunt, you're actually inhabiting the jaguar god, right? Like that's a thing, you know? And so it elevates and again, kind of provides transcendence for the human tribe. And I think that's all art is now today. And what we artists are is we hold this very special role. And, you know, in crowdfunding, like literally people are going out and hunting and gathering, and then they're bringing some of your resources to you as patronage going, hey, let's elevate my world a little bit. That's your job and responsibility with music or film or art or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I want artists to know, musicians to know that like we have a very beautiful and valuable role in humanity. It's kind of a gift and an honor, I think, to be entrusted with that responsibility and that role. Mm-hmm. To be able to give moment, like, you know, you getting goosebumps from listening to my song, like what an amazing, incredible gift that we don't pay enough attention to, that like somebody not next to me across the world through some magic phone, you know, box in our pockets gets to like have an emotional moment. I mean, that's incredible. So that is the final piece on the emotional story side. We'll never discuss it again. No.
Oh, man, that's so good. Yeah, I mean, it's powerful. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because it is easy to lose sight of that, how important that role is and what we're really doing here.
Yeah.
Cool. So, onto the
marketing steps.
Yeah, all right. Let's talk about money, money, money. Woo.
Yeah, because now you got to pay for all that stuff.
but you know, it's really important to learn how to promote, you know, your music, because even the best story in the world, if nobody hears it, you know, sort of like a tree falling in the woods, you know, if no one's there to hear it or experience it, then, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's not a beautiful, you know, expression that's happening, but it certainly is like disconnected, or it's, you know, it's missing one of maybe the most valuable pieces of music, which is about communion and coming together and having that ripple effect. And so, yeah, I'd love to hear your advice for artists as it relates to crowdfunding, and maybe more generally too, in terms of, you know, getting eyeballs or ears on their music, getting the earballs on their music. What do you recommend for artists as it relates to building, you know, their audience?
Yeah. So, there's sort of three essential ingredients to a successful campaign, and I'll kind of move quickly through some of them. But in answer to this question, first off, let's recognize the value of a marketing plan, right? It's really easy for people to sort of like, if I build it, they will come, you know, if I post it, they will listen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you gotta like do something to get them to hear it, right? Mm-hmm. Once they hear it, like once they're on the crowdfunding page, yeah, your pitch video becomes really valuable. Your perks and rewards become really valuable. But a lot of people start there when they go to like prep for a campaign, like what cool perks am I going to offer? And frankly, the reality of it, particularly with artistic patronage, is like perks are cool and you can make them cool, but that's not what's driving the campaign. It's that emotional piece. They want to see you succeed. They want to be a patron of what it is that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And you talk about this a lot with like modern musician and the street team and all that kind of stuff. Like that's part of it too. Give them an experience, right? So for anybody listening, obviously this is why people like me exist, crowdfunding coaches, but whether or not you hire, you know, I'm saying you to the people listening, you know, whether or not you hire somebody to help you do this, just know that the job is a marketing job. That's what your research and your time should be spent on. So then the next thing is like, okay, well, how do you do that? How do you get tens of thousands of people to see your project so that, you know, your conversion rates match out to where it works, right? So where you can actually get funded. Ads can be helpful for musicians. They're really not at all for film. And I think one difference is just the nature of what can be consumed in an ad space for a crowdfunding campaign. You can catch somebody's attention with, you know, some of the moments, which is what you talk about, or a hook or something, right? And hook them in and drive some traffic. Generally speaking, though, I don't recommend ads for creative campaigns because, again, it's really, with patronage, it's a little bit harder to justify, like the transactional nature of that kind of goes away because they're not going to show up and get something again for cheap, right? So what I recommend my clients to do is to build a team of people who are willing to spread the word. So in my world, I call these people core team members. They're generally worth, you know, at least a couple thousand dollars in backing, like their efforts bring in. And I have sort of tiers in my system, but one of my tiers is what I call street team, funnily enough. But I think the like takeaway principle for people listening is finding the people who are motivated because they are either huge fans of your music and what it is that you're creating, or they're getting something for this, right? They're getting a custom song written for them, or they're getting, I have a client who's like, is doing like guitar lessons. Like they're getting something out of it. And it becomes sort of an exchange where, again, all parties sort of feel like it's a win-win. And they're willing to do the work of commenting, liking, and sharing on the crowdfunding, social media posts, and sending out, you know, direct messages in a way that, again, just creates awareness for the project. We're not trying to sell people. We're just trying to make sure that the people we have access to, family, friends, fans, and followers, are aware of the thing that's happening. And if we can make them aware and make it relationship-centric, hey, this is what I got going on in my life. Of course, if you want to jump in and contribute, that's awesome. But honestly, what a great excuse for us to reconnect. I haven't talked to you since high school. How's life, man? Right? Like with that kind of energy, people get really excited. Like really. And my clients end up telling me at the end of week one, I'm actually having fun. I'm like, I know.
Wow. Man, I got goosebumps that you're talking about that because I was just thinking about like Street Team as a platform. Mm-hmm. The whole purpose behind it is building communities that are exactly like what you're describing to, you'll be able to reward and kind of honor your fans or the people in your community, in your inner circle, whether that's a fan or a family member that you know that's connected to you on these different layers of yourself. And so it sounds like what you're recommending is, you know, one of the core pieces is to find like who is your inner circle in different layers of the people closest to you, maybe your closest friends, family members, contacts, and then, you know, building this street team or building this, you know, this community of team members that are spreading the word for you as you get it launched.
Mm. Yeah, even just like as an example of this, I call them like the organic social echo chamber. If you post something on Instagram, it's going to, on average, be seen by 3-6% of your following, of your audience. But if you have someone come along, let's say you have 5-10 people come along and they comment and they save and they like it and they share it to their stories, all of a sudden the algorithm goes, oh, there's some movement here. And then these social media algorithms in their creepy, omniscient ways know exactly who's going to be into this. And so they start actively putting it into the timelines of people who are going to be into what it is that you've just put out there based off of the hashtags or the wording or the music and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we just, this is like a, like in that particular example, that core team becomes sort of your initial round of organic engagement, which such a guru-y term, but kind of hacks the algorithm in your favor. We get it proves to the math you know, code behind all of it, that like, oh, there's something here. You should be putting this out to more people. Mm. And then the platforms absolutely do, because that's what's driving all of their decisions, is more users.
Yeah. And to be fair too, like you are actually creating a movement when you're doing that too. Mm-hmm. It is sort of like kind of hacking the system, but also it's like hacking in a way that's real, you know, because it's not like you're just creating a bunch of bots that like aren't real. Like you're actually like, you know, having your closest, you know, contacts and family members and friends and people in your community are actually showing up, and you're galvanizing them, you know, around this campaign. So it's actually like, you know, totally legitimate use of the platform.
Mm. 100%. Especially if your core team is made up of fans, right? These are the people who are listening to your music. They are the algorithmic demographic that is responding to the stuff you're putting out. And so the more they get involved, the more that teaches the algorithm, like, oh yeah, these are the people, you know, these are Michael's fans. Like let's make sure they're seeing all these posts. Mm. You
know? This is really just making my mind go fast with integrations with like the Straight Team platform.
Oh, I know, buddy. We're going to be talking down in Florida about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, we definitely got to sync up too on like, you know, kind of working in best practices from the mm-hmm. communication with those team members. I mean, I know we have like group DMs now, but also one feature in particular I think is be really relevant to this specific strategy is contests, and basically being able to create a list of actions that members of your community can take, whether that's like following you on Instagram, or you know, pre-saving a song on Spotify, or just a custom like button click that you could say whatever, you know, click here to go to the post and comment on the post. But rewarding, you know, fans who complete those actions with either like the tokens that they get for the community, or actually having a contest where if they earn, you know, the most tokens, then they can get a year of access to your Diamond Inner Circle, for example.
Yeah.
I think there's some really cool integration opportunities there.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, even just the work that, because I'm in this, you know, I'm going through the program now, but like even just the work of like how we're building our audience in the system is such a, like, you know, I most of my clients don't come to me with a mailing list of their fans, of the people who want the content that they're about to go fund. Mm. So if you can show up to, you know, our first coaching session and you've got a mailing list of 500 or 1,000 people, like that's already putting you in a, particularly the way Modern Musician teaches it, which is very like qualified. These are very qualified. These are the fans, right? And man, showing up on the day like with that kind of list is super powerful. You know, and like Savannah raised $65,000. You know, she doesn't have to pay that back. That isn't in some weird, you know, 95-5 split with some label that it will never get repaid. Like that is her people showing up for her music. And she's able to have now the creative freedom to make the things she wants to make. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, Justin, this has been a lot of fun and really helpful for understanding, you kind of in simple terms, like what are the most important things to focus on when it comes to running, you know, this type of campaign, but also thinking about this wider in terms of like building a community and doing releases on an ongoing basis. So really appreciate you hopping on the podcast today to share a little bit of your expertise. And obviously this is something that you've really cracked the code on. 97%, you know, success rate. Gosh, like how what was the number?
350 campaigns, 11 million over the last 12 years.
Yeah. So that's absolutely incredible. So for anyone that's listening or watching this right now, that's interested in learning more. And yeah, obviously like you've really broken this down into like a step-by-step, you know, guide for folks who are running these types of campaigns, who are interested in, you know, learning these strategies. What's the best place that someone could go to learn more?
Yeah. Just go to my website, thekickstarterguy.com. Right there, you'll be prompted to schedule a consultation with me and put in your project details. And it's pretty in depth. It's like 45 minutes. I want to get to know you, the project, the timelines, the budget amounts. Like we talk about a lot of that stuff really, really in depth. Most of my fee is on the back end of the campaign. So it's more of a partnership. There's no like hire me as a coach button on my website. So we kind of got to feel each other out and both feel confident that there's a really, you know, successful path there. And then if that's the case, then I go over my process and my rates and people can decide if they want to work with me or not.
Mm. That's really cool. And I guess at this point, you know, you really don't want to ruin that 97% success rate, huh?
No.
I'm pretty selective.
The reason I do it is because like, you know, I don't put all of it on the back end because then I'm just some guy giving advice. There's a dynamic that happens when I'm hired. There's an expectation of professionalism and timeliness. I, of course, know that my clients like quite literally invested in what I have to say. But I put a lot of my fee on the back end because then my client always knows that if I'm giving advice, it's through the lens of this is what I think is actually going to help you raise the most amount of money. Not I'm telling you what you want to hear, right? Mm-hmm. This is what I think is going to be help you be the most successful because I share in that. Mm-hmm. And I like that. That's the dynamic I want. We're all invested with each other, but at the end of the day, we're also all trying to do this as well as we possibly can.
Mm, I like it. Yeah. I really think that that's like the future of most business is some form of revenue sharing or profit sharing as much mm-hmm. as possible.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Cool. Well, Justin, like always, we'll put the links in the show notes for easy access. Cool. But it's been really great having you on the podcast and appreciate you being a member of our community now as well. You getting to see your wins and the weekly wins is very cool.
Yeah. So
can't wait to see you grow with your street team community and to be able to partner up and collaborate on integrating all the lessons that you've learned into the platform as well.
100%. Super honored to be here. Thank you for bringing me on. And yeah, I'm excited to kind of see where this journey continues.
Awesome. Hey, this is Michael, and I just want to say thank you for tuning into this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.